team here. We're in this season called Advent, which means arrival. It's a time of waiting. It's a very traditional period in the church calendar when we look forward to the birth of Jesus. Well, we look forward to the coming of Jesus, but we remember the birth of Jesus. And last week, we kicked off the Advent season looking at one of those words on the list under the big title. We looked at joy, and I hope you've all had a joyful week, being joyful. Did you remember to be joyful this week? It's hard to tell with some of you, I have to say. Come on. Give me some joy. Anyway, hopefully you'll be feeling peaceful by the end of this, because today we're looking at peace. It's a rare commodity, isn't it? Peace. Lots of definitions that I looked up included a lack of hostility, a lack of fighting, what happens when a war is ended, a state of tranquility, calm, contentment, rest. Carries the ideas of freedom and harmony. It's actually quite a big word. Yeah, there are lots of facets to peace. It's something that we all want, isn't it? Something we all want for ourselves and for each other. As Helen's just prayed, we want peace for people who are trapped in situations of conflict. The many places in the world that are just not peaceful, where it's not safe to be. And so we pray regularly for those places and people in those places. And we're very blessed in this country to not be living in that kind of conflict. We can carry out our lives without fear of someone shooting at us, or we can come to church today without worrying that someone's going to arrest us all on our way out of here for worshipping. That's not the case everywhere. Many are trapped in situations that are highly volatile and precarious. Homelessness, family violence, addictions, sickness. Personal peace can be hard to find in the world, even without those challenges. And at this time of the year, with all the craziness that happens between now and Christmas, peace is even harder to find, it seems. But more fundamentally, we can lack peace within ourselves, can't we? Because of internal struggles. Struggles with destructive behaviors, or prejudice, or unforgiveness, or fear, or anger, or hatred, or bitterness, or judgment. We may battle with regret or shame, painful personal or family history that keeps us tangled up in toxic emotions and responses, habits that don't line up with our own standards, let alone God's standards. The Bible tells us that there was peace at the beginning with God, before Adam and Eve chose to ignore the one rule about the one tree. And the human race has been estranged from God ever since, lacking the peace of being in relationship with our Creator, with each other, and with the creation. Having said all of that depressing stuff, you can start smiling now, because sometimes we do experience peace, don't we? And I find that I experience peace around particular people. It doesn't seem to matter what's going on. There are like certain people, they walk into the room and like, oh, everything calms down. They don't even have to do anything. There's just something about them. My best friend was like that. She was just, everything was chill. Whatever was going on, once she walked in, didn't matter how crazy things were or how chaotic they seemed, she was here, so everything was going to be all right. Now, we all actually do have someone like that, potentially, who once we know they're in the room, we know that everything is going to be okay. And that is our Prince of Peace, Jesus. See, I've come to think, and I hope you'll come to agree with me, that peace is not the absence of conflict, whether it's external or internal. We don't always have control over those things. Peace is the presence of Jesus, not just as an idea or a teacher or a historical figure to admire, but as a living person, fully human and fully God, and present with us in our lives, whether things are going well or badly. This week's reading from the prophet Isaiah is a prophecy given to the prophet about his future plans to save the people of Judah from her oppressors. And it was given around 730 BC. That's a little while ago. Some scholars believe that these verses were written about not the current king, who was very idolatrous and just took the nation far away from God, but about his son. So the king who was ruling at the time was King Ahaz. And his son, Hezekiah, was a great king. He reversed the rot. He brought Judah back to worshipping God properly and got rid of lots of idols. But when he died and his son went to his son, Manasseh, the nation was plunged into even worse idolatry and violence. So let's look again at our reading, if I can ask you to put the reading up, lovely vision person. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The titles given to this ruler go way beyond anything a human ruler could be or achieve, whatever we might see in the world around us currently, with leaders who perhaps are claiming more for themselves than they should. And the birth of this leader is not going to happen in a normal way. For the end of this reading tells us that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. God's own passionate commitment will bring this about. And this leader will be both unique and rule in a unique way. Now, a human king could be a wonderful counselor, a person of great wisdom like Solomon, or a person of great strategy like David. But there is no human leader who could have the title of Mighty God or Everlasting Father. But because of the zeal of the Lord, because of God's passionate commitment, this leader comes to be born to the people. And so Israel waits for this unique leader, for this unique birth, and they wait another 7 centuries until Jesus is born. And he doesn't come in the way they expect. But as a child born in an animal's, in a room shared with animals and put into their feeding trough. Now, according to a website called The World Counts, 4 babies are born every second. It's quite a few, isn't it? 140 million every year. A baby's birth is a huge deal, but really only to the baby's family, to their parents. Isn't it remarkable that the birth of this baby is something that we still celebrate 2,000 years later all across the world? And the reason for this is because this baby is the one the prophet was writing about all those years ago. This baby became the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. John writes about him at the beginning of his gospel, describing him as the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And at the beginning of Mark's gospel, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us announces the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, saying effectively that heaven had come to earth. And he demonstrated it as he taught about God the Father and did signs and wonders, healings and forgiving sins. Something that only God can do to heal the breach between us and him. And because of this, the understanding that he claimed to be the Son of God and was doing things that only God could do was what led to his trial and his death. But that death was not a tragic accident or a miscarriage of justice or something that shouldn't have happened, because that's why he came. He came to die, to bring peace between humanity and God. He came to restore that peace that was shattered by our rejection of God's rule. And after dying for us and taking on the penalty of that rejection, he rose to life again, proving that he was not just a good teacher, but proving that he was, in fact, God, come into the world to bring us back into relationship with himself. By the time Jesus was born, the Jewish community was under Roman occupation. So the Messiah, the anointed one, that they had, the king, the leader they were waiting for, they expected him to free them from the oppression of the Romans as part of this prophecy and many others. But the freedom that Jesus brought was cosmic and eternal. It stretched far beyond Israel and their concerns, extended to all who would believe and trust in Jesus and what he had done. And as we wait to celebrate his first coming as a baby, we who believe look forward to his return to judge the world and establish his eternal reign with justice and righteousness. Jesus cares about the injustice and the pain of this world. And he will come back to set all things right. The peace of God is not an escape from the world we live in, but it's a way to live in the world in light of that future kingdom, because those of us who believe are already citizens of that future kingdom, and we live under the rule of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of Jesus, that long-awaited ruler described in our reading, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. He's come to establish a kingdom, but not with military might. He's done it through sacrifice, through his death, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 20, reconciling all things to God by making peace between us and God through his blood shed on the cross. Peace with God comes through Jesus, through knowing that he has done all that is needed for you to be in direct relationship with him, with the God who made you, who knows you, who loves you, who came here for you, who defeated death and proved it was not the end. Before his arrest, Jesus gave his followers the gift of peace. In John 14:27, we read, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The peace he gave them is the same peace that we have access to now by faith. His peace, not as the world gives, not that at the end of a long day or Sunday night where you have to go back to work. This is a peace that is stable, immovable, resolute, decided. It's a given. If you are a believer in Jesus, you already have his peace because he's given it to you as a gift in the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer. Our peace rests on the fact of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, on knowing that God is for you, that you face no situation in your life alone, that God is with you at all times, that your life is not limited by the rules of engagement of this world. The peace of God does not insulate you from the challenges of life, but gives you confidence that he walks with you through them, so that whatever is happening, you know that all is well, because God is present. And with Jesus, you have an eternal future. If you're not a believer, but would like to have this peace and to know Jesus, the way to have this presence, to have this peace in your life, is to ask God to show you that Jesus is God. He will, if you're serious. And as you learn that you can trust him, as you learn about him through his word, by speaking to him and hearing him answer you, and by connecting with other believers, you'll experience a growing sense of peace, a sign of his presence in your life. I know there are lots of believers sitting here, but maybe you do lack peace. If for you, my question is not, is Jesus present, but are you present to Jesus in your life? Have you noticed that Jesus is in the room, every room? Is it possible that you're so busy working for him that you are not experiencing his presence? You don't take time to be still and know the God who's with you. The beautiful truth that we can stake our lives on, the peace that we can stand firm in, no matter what's going on, is that Jesus, born to rule forever in righteousness and justice, will one day return to the earth to reign. And God's zeal, God's passion to see us restored to him is what led him to give us this amazing gift of his Son, whose life has secured us eternal peace with him. So let's hear once again this amazing declaration of what has happened for us and what we can look forward to. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
We invite you all to stand and sing with us again. And just really think on the words of this song. God, you know, came to Mary and gave her a baby, and that baby was Jesus. And we start the first verses. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to the virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the